sometimes, you know how I imagine it too? Like, fallen angels, right? Who joined the army of Satan. And then there are ones who are with God in his presence and are doing the works of God.
COVID. Dad spent a lot of time at night just like scrolling on TikTok or whatever. I remember sometimes I would watch a few videos on TikTok and it'd be like something like scary. Like, oh, like someone's taking a video. I hear noises. Someone's acting a little bit weird. I got like a bad energy from that battle, this type of stuff. So yeah. I think the number one thing is just obviously cutting these things out of your life, being on social media way less, or going to church, being around good people. Just start building a positive environment around you. Start building your mindset.
What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Amen.
Amen. What does that mean to me?
Yeah. That means to you. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Bros Think Big. Today we're going to be talking about some of the spiritual stuff that has to do with, you know, angels,
demons,
just. Because, you know, spirit is not something that you can necessarily see. You can definitely feel it and kind of sense it. And some of you who, you know, also believe in the spiritual stuff, you will definitely understand what we're trying to say. Let us know if you even believe in these type of stuff. But Bible is very clear on spiritual battles as well that we as humans go through. A spiritual realm where sometimes, you know how I imagine it too? Like, so there's fallen angels, right, who joined the army of Satan, because Satan has his own army, angels who rebelled against God. And then there are ones who are with God in his presence and are doing the works of God. And then there's ones that do the works of Satan. So there is, because you guys have seen like one of those either art or just AI generated pictures of just like a war between angels, right? Like there's light angels clothed in light and just, you know, kind of kicking out the bad ones. Yeah. That type of thing. I do not think that that's so hard to imagine or it's not real, because even the Revelation, when you read it, you actually get that type of picture that on the second coming, right, and those 1,000 years of reign, there will be that type of battle where, you know, Jesus comes riding on a horse and just destroys all the evil and stuff. And then there will be the army of angels just, you know, destroying every bit of those beasts, every bad spirit, every bad being that's there to deceive people and do harm on the world, right? So, one of the stories that Georgie told us, right? About so what was it? Can you say it? Because I don't remember.
Yeah. So basically, a guy he rented out an apartment, okay. And then he was hearing some noises. I guess he wasn't able to sleep. He was probably like feeling the presence, the aura of the bad spirits. So then he had people, because he couldn't understand where it was coming from.
There were sounds too, right?
Yeah, exactly. He would hear like weird sounds. So then he had this specialist, like people that like put cameras to, I guess, how do they
capture
call
it? Yeah.
Capture like any evil spirit. But that's the thing, like spirit cannot be seen. So when he brought those people, like they couldn't understand where this things were coming from, so he had to move out. And when he moved out,
you have to understand, sometimes they take a form of a flesh or take a form of some kind of being or some kind of creature. And I've seen this in scary movies. Now I don't know how real it is when they come to testing things like that, but what they do is they take a little thread that's very clear and it's pretty much unseen. They strengthen that across the rooms very tight, so if somebody or something just kind of walks past it or goes through it, and then there's a bell that just rings, and it can be on a very, very subtle movement, so just a little touch on it and you will hear the ring.
So that's exactly what I want to kind of underline too. It's like the way I'm imagining it and I'm understanding it is like the spirit, you cannot see it with your physical eye, right? Like you can sense it. So for example, if there was, just imagine a spirit running right now back and forth. You can't see it, but you might be put something here, and then like you understand there's something running. You just won't see it.
So I think it's a little interesting why people would think that, oh, you know, I'm gonna catch the devil in action by, you know, putting a bunch of these traps, when I feel like he already knows what you're doing. Like he knows your moves. He kind of knows your thoughts too. Now, I don't know if he like fully knows your thoughts, right? I don't know. Because angels are, because he was an angel. So God gave him that gift of dominion over people, right? Angels have dominion over people, but only if God permits it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, that's
something serious. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. All I can say is,
I think there are some things that
the devil knows right. Humankind. Like, I mean,
but I don't think he knows like every single thought of yours.
I don't think he knows every single. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
people might argue otherwise.
We could probably have a whole episode about that itself. If the devil actually knows like about you and like your thoughts and everything like that, maybe he does. I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he's a higher dimensional being. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't know, like, your thoughts.
Because here's the thing.
He tempts you in a way where your thoughts are...
Angels can actually see him, but we can't. In the realm that we're in, I guess you can call it a realm, right?
Yeah,
like, we can't really see... We can't see those spirits. That doesn't mean they're not physical. We just can't see it. Because we're limited to certain things.
Okay.
And I want to tell the audience too, the reason that we brought this topic in the first place was because I think either you or me mentioned it, like where we ever like are scrolling on social media, we're watching something and something like super like negative pops up, like maybe horror story, some type of accident, some type of negative interaction, like anything just like negative that gives you like a bad vibe.
Yeah.
Like those bad vibes, we were trying to distinguish between them being like your own perception of you causing that type of negative thinking and feelings versus actual like you being like not possessed but just like filled up with just like this negative aura or energy. I'm saying, because like the spiritual warfare is, we go out into the real world and it's full of, or even on social media, which is like this like fourth plane of existence, there's, right? Because there's sea land air, then there's fourth, which is no there's a cyberspace is its own space.
And you said I remember you were saying some like interesting stuff about that cyberspace, where I remember you said like there might be a place where, like, for I remember we were outside the church.
Yeah,
I
remember
saying that. And you gave an example of the church, the building, right? You said in a cyberspace there can be that exact building, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I talk about is that like in the cyberspace there's actually like this land in the cyberspace, like Virginia, so it's the digital realm.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this like weird place. Cause like, let's think about it, right? I could go on my phone right now and see people in Africa, like through like a screen, and I could almost feel what they're feeling just through like my own human experience. Like if I see Georgie, he looks sad, I'm going to feel sad. So I feel like empathetic, or is it empathetic or sympathetic? Something like that towards the person across the screen. It's like, there's so many different types of emotions flying around. And that's like where like big spiritual warfare comes from, because a lot of people spend a lot of their time on social media where,
yeah, all you have to do, to that feelings, right?
Exactly. All you have to do is, because let's think about it too. You're like, you're stuck in a trance, regardless if you're scrolling. You're not like super intentional. Like, let's be honest. You're just kind of like,
when you're stuck in a trance, what does that mean?
Like you're in a trance like state. Like you're on like autopilot, or like you're like drifting almost. Okay. And you're just like mind, you're not really thinking too much. You're just kind of like there scrolling.
Yeah.
You're so easily vulnerable to all these like attacks that the cyberspace has. Like, for example, like I would feel, let's just say I'm scrolling at night. I've had a few instances where I'm like scrolling at nighttime, like super late, like 12, maybe 1 o'clock. This would happen a lot during COVID. I'd spend a lot of time at night just like scrolling on TikTok or whatever. But I remember sometimes I would watch a few videos on TikTok and it'd be like something like scary, like, oh, like someone's taking a video, they hear noises, someone's acting a little bit weird. And I got like a bad energy from that. And that would just like, it would stick with me. I almost got like possessed, like through the phone.
And it's so easy too, because it's one click away.
Exactly. It's one click right there. And even not just like that bad energy, but like lust itself too. Like if you go on social media, it's a whole battlefield of just like women, right?
Like fake accounts, dude, adding you.
Exactly.
Fake accounts, liking your stuff, like just bunch of them.
Also the algorithm just like popping up, just like, just these like women who just like half naked. Like men that are just like,
dude, I always report those pages. Do you guys do that?
Like,
you
press not interested, or report it.
Yeah.
Or
just block them. At this point, I just ignore them.
Yeah.
Cause they're going to keep coming up anyway.
If you do press not interested, it actually pops up a little bit less. Sometimes, the algorithm just kind of throws in your face. Like, here you go. Come on, come over here. Right.
Like, it still do it. Like after a month, it'll reset. You have to just.
No reason, the audience, the whole reason we brought this up is because when you're out there on the battlefield, you got to just be more intentional when it comes to your actions, because you could easily wind up down like that dark alley just by watching a certain video, going down a certain rabbit hole, and all of a sudden, boom, you get spiritually attacked, and that will lead you towards sinning.
Yeah, dude. And technology, you guys know, like the bit and apple thing, right? It's just so real, because when you actually go online and just look anything up, you have access to so much information and just so many different sources of things. Some are good, some are bad, some are deceptive, some are actually true. Some have emotional, control over you. Some will like emotionally kind of take over some, even videos. There are some videos where people make it in an emotional manner just so it gets to you, but in reality, it's not really like that. I personally don't even like the videos where they, usually ever since like the Israel and Palestine war started and stuff, they would play a video of like an old woman crying because she didn't have food, or like kids who were saying, oh, you know, I heard bombing, I heard shooting and all this type of stuff, and crying. I don't know. Look, the intention can be both. It can be purely manipulate people through the screen to donate money. Or it could actually be because, you know, they're trying to show people, okay, this is who we're donating it to. But I don't know if I see a reason.
When there's a war between two countries, both of them are going through some struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can't be like, okay, I'm going to donate to this because there's like kids that are losing their homes. And then on the other side, it's also the same thing. You know what I mean? So in a sense, it is a sort of...
And considering how marketing works... Because you see how
they're dividing people? Yeah. They're like, I'm on the side of free Palestine. I'm on the side of free Israel. Like, why are you not on the side of freedom, peace?
Right, just
like... They're just dividing people. Just what it really is.
Dude, were you going to say something?
No, that I was just going to say, like, there's just so many different ways like that where you... There's so many hooks that the devil has on people through just simply opening up that technology and just internet in general, where, dude, if we had to just look at, if you had to just kind of have a frame where we could see everything that is being accessible to internet in general, it would just be like out of this world. Like you can literally type, you know, you can just mix up the words a little bit in a search bar, and you will get two different searches based on how you search that up. So it's almost like you have access to anything and everything. You know what I mean? So yeah. That itself is you already partaking in something that is deceiving or you know, untruthful or, you know, lustful, whatever it may be, by just having and owning an iPad, having an iPhone. We literally are already inviting that into our lives, but we have to do that with care and ease. You know what I mean? Like, good things come with it. Like, I can make a call to Georgie. I can find out what's going on across the world, but it still doesn't change the fact that me just owning that piece of technology already puts me in a position where I'm also susceptible to everything else as much as other people are. So we have to be, that's why we have to be careful and limit ourselves to what we consume.
And I would say back to the bit and apple thing, like let's be honest. It's like, let's not be total conspiracists, but let's just really think about it, right? The bit and apple, what does a bit and apple mean? It means like the you gain the knowledge of good and evil. Now you know, you have all this knowledge of an understanding about what's good, what's bad, when originally you did not before.
And sinning too.
And sinning, yeah, exactly. And when it came to Apple, or not even just Apple, just the internet itself, and all of a sudden this new land, this new space, cyberspace got created, you have so many more instances of where you can indulge and pursue the sin of like gluttony, just like overindulgence and just like absolutely everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So you almost bit the apple so many varieties of things. Stepping into the cyberspace.
Yeah, I know, dude. And that's why when people say it's just mere conspiracy, it could be, right? But then how can two things like that perfectly align for every single extent, right? Like bit and apple, sin.
Yeah, rebellious. You can try looking it up. Like, why does Apple have a bit and apple?
I'll show you for sure. Why, right. Why doesn't Apple have a logo of bit and apple and not anything else? It's like, how can it be? The chances are very slim that it's just coincidence. Very.
Yeah, you just don't have to stress it. My days. Stretch this. You know what?
We're patient, Georgie.
Stretch things out.
In what way?
So, like, conspiracy theorists, they go crazy about all this stuff. They go in very, like, deep with some things, and then Rabbit it just hole. Sounds, yeah, and then it just sounds silly. Now it just sounds they're just trying to make something out of it when it's not, right?
Yeah.
So when they're trying to stretch something when it's not real. Like, if, for example, the way you described it, you kept it short and you kept it real, how it was, how it is.
Yeah.
But then when they go in the rabbit hole of, like, other things and they start to change the story of the...
it's like, are you working or performing? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you know.
That's it. I mean...
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
What did it tell you, bro?
So it gave me a couple of things. I think ChatGPT's coping. But number one, it said the original logo created by Ronald Wayne. He said it depicted Isaac Newton, who was sitting under an apple tree with an apple about to fall on his head, referencing the discovery of gravity. It was highly detailed, almost like I don't really.
No, that's about gravity.
That. Yeah, I know, but it's the first logo created by depicted. That's like the first logo. The modern sleek bitten apple was designed.
So wait, is this even true though? Wait, like actually,
what?
1976. Any idea?
Oh yeah, it literally has the picture of Isaac Newton under the apple tree.
Wait, what?
Like that was the logo.
Yeah, but was that on the phone, dude? Can you look into that? Like,
but
was it on the phone?
I think it's just like the
Microsoft. Where it says Microsoft. That was the logo. AppleComputer.com. It says. How about this internet logo in general?
So it says why bit an apple. This guy added a bite to the apple so that people wouldn't confuse it with a cherry or a tomato, especially when scaled down.
What?
That's what it says.
Has to be, right?
Yeah. This also says the word bite sounds like a bite, as in like computer data.
That's what I'm talking about.
But then ChatGPT goes like, there's
because some... you can go both ways about it. You can say it's just an apple that is bitten. It's because it's cool. It's
no, but it looks cool like a cherry logo. With a bite in it.
Exactly. So it's like, no, it doesn't. You can always, what's it called? It
looks like a cucumber.
Yeah, it looks point, like, it looks like an orange with a bite in it. Like, no. And it even says here, apple. Symbolic interpretation. Some see the bitten apple as a reference to the biblical story of Adam and Eve, where the apple represents knowledge, temptation, enlightenment. In this view, Apple's logo symbolizes human curiosity and the pursuit of knowledge, fitting for a company that aims to think different. That makes a lot of sense, in my opinion.
How do you guys encounter the spiritual battle or spiritual realm that you felt? Was there anything you guys ever like felt?
Like a paranormals type of thing? Type of experience?
Yeah. Right. Do you ever have that?
You know, I felt that a lot. You know, I felt that a lot when I was around certain people who I think were filled with like bad energy.
Okay.
Bad negative energy. So
Years ago?
Yeah, years ago when I was probably like in middle schoolish, like probably like a little bit.
Friends or
people, no,
like in family. Your family?
Like, for example, I'd say that.
You don't
like,
have to say who he was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, these people would know,
yeah,
right?
It's up
you'd say, so it'd be at my cousin's house, right? Like they noticed too. We've all talked about this before. It'd be, some of my family members were really big on drinking and stuff like that. They're really big on that. And I would stay over there sometimes because my mom stayed there at the time. And I would see there and I'll go there and see my cousins. But there'd be some moments there where even they have their own stories where that house was full of negativity. That house was full of people who were just drinking all the time. The house was full of just bad situations. And sometimes when I was there, I would feel like just like uneasy. Like not like technically safe. And even some of my cousins like would have like stories about they either see things or like see people or they wake up and like hear things. Like it was very like creepy. And I felt like it was just a manifestation of the negative energy that was just like attracted to that place because of the actions those people went through.
When you think about that, how do you look at it? Do you think like, okay, this evil spiritual beings or like the fallen angels trying to kind of scare you on purpose so you fall into this, you know, state of fear or like, are they trying to kind of sneak into your room, but you hear it? Like,
how do you think, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's fear because let's think about it, right?
Would know you're,
when you are afraid, that means just like you're not technically like not in love with God, but it just means like you don't trust him in a sense.
Yeah.
Like if you're afraid, that means you don't trust God. I don't want to make it technically black and white, but I think about it. They're just trying to put you in a vulnerable situation and keep you afraid so that you don't really necessarily like have that much faith in God.
No,
turn
you
away.
They're not going to let you settle. They're not going to let you. You have to understand, you're going to sleep, you're getting rest.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to let you do that. They want to keep bothering you. They want to keep on distracting you. Like, look.
And one of the things that messes you up is lack of sleep. It really messes you up.
Exactly. Yeah. That's actually number one. Another thing is like with phones, right? So it's supposed to, I think, just represent deceivement, right? Because, you know, you have to understand, like, there's just so many things you can do through social media and on social media where you can lie about things, right? So like, news, when they you know, share news or whatever, there's just different broadcasting news where they just share different things on each channels. Like there's just different stories. So like if you're I don't know the channel names, but like you,
NBC News, that type
what's the
of
other
stuff?
Like what's the other one? You gotta know this, America.
NBC
Come on.
News. What's the other?
Fox.
Yeah,
CNN.
Yeah. Let's just say Fox and
CNN.
NBC.
Yeah,
that's three.
ABC. Like they will share three different things on one situation. So like the war between Palestine and Israel, for example, you'll say different things. They will say different thing. I'll say a different thing. Because then it's like this. People now, it's like, and there's a group of people that trust me. There's a group of people that trust them. And there's a group of people that trust you. But we're all lying. You know what I mean? It's like we're all playing, we're all performing behind the screen, but then we're making it look real and we're just dividing people to believe certain things. Now they're just arguing for no reason when none of them know that what's the real story about it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, look, it's not bad. It's just when people start to actually divide from each other because of certain beliefs, certain, they have different set of beliefs and different things that they hear, and they go like, this guy's crazy. What this guy's talking about, what he heard on Fox News is wrong. What I heard on NBC is so much more accurate. You know what I mean? And they start to be like separate almost.
Dude, news channels,
that's
are
just
what
it is.
It's just all
programmed. But in reality, they're all the same.
It's all for you to get programmed. Yep. Being programmed on the news. I hate the news, bro.
I don't like
the news because it's so negative.
Have you seen when they cut some stuff out?
There's nothing good about it.
Nothing is good about it.
People are trying to say, oh, we're actually letting you know what's going on around the world, but
there's so many
everything be negative in the world, right?
Yeah.
Like there's positive stuff, but why do you not want to shed a light on something positive? Because no one cares about it? No, because you do not want to feed people with positivity.
Dude, and the social media is just like a faster version of the news in a sense because you see everyone's life.
There's content creators who just put out negative content. So that's just worse than news in a way because news are not going to just project every content creator, but social media does, right?
Yeah. I think we got to be careful with just like the feelings because it's not even just social media. It's like people in general too. Like it's projecting. When people feel something like negative inside, they try to project it on the people through like conversations or just talking about other people or talking bad about them. And that projection goes onto the other person.
Yeah, like
they want to get it out.
How about this?
Okay, yeah, go.
And no, so finish it, and then I'll continue.
No, I'm pretty much finished.
Okay, this is what I was gonna say. Like, take person that's optimistic, and they take person that's skeptical about things, right? And you know,
like a pessimistic person.
What's up?
Pessimistic. It's the opposite of optimistic.
Yeah, let's just say pessimistic person, where they like to look at things. They call it like realistic, but
always
skeptical,
always negative.
But they're always like negative. So, like for example. I'll tell you a story. I met this guy yesterday. I told you guys this too, but I kind of want to connect this with things that we're talking about. You know, he was telling me this, that he was around like 45 years old. He was an Uber driver. He said he's never been on a plane because he's scared of heights. Now he goes like, I've heard 200 stories from different people. Because obviously, look, he's an Uber driver. He drives people to airport. You know, he probably asked them like, you know, like, I'm kind of afraid of heights. This is the first thing he asked me. He's like, he goes like, where should I drop you off? The first floor or the second floor? And I'm like, it doesn't really matter. I was like, doesn't matter. He goes like, not really. Some people just prefer second floor. He was like, I wouldn't really know. I don't really fly. So that he kind of opened up the conversation for him to already start talking about he's never been on a plane, right? And then, you know, obviously it looked like he was confused about it. He actually wanted to understand, like, because you got to, like, I'm also like that. If I haven't done something and I kind of want to do it because, and I'm also scared about it, I'm probably going to ask people that done it. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like, look, you've been on a plane. What do you think? Is it actually scary? Is it true that there's a possibility of, you know, is crashing? Is it safe
and that type of stuff?
Is it safe? Stuff like that. And he was skeptical about a lot of things. You know, I told him the same thing. Like, look, I understand what you're saying. That plane can crash. Anything can happen. But then I'm like, anything can happen on the road too. Your car can easily just...
You know, statistically, planes are more safe than
cars. I told him that, right? I told him that. And then it's like, I'm just telling him, like, imagine you're on your trip, just going whatever, you're on your own, and then there's just some guy driving recklessly. Because you're on a highway, you're driving 60 miles an hour. A little bump on your rear or the tire.
Yeah, all it takes is just your turn, your arm.
Listen, he doesn't even need to do anything. The car hits him a little bit, the car can flip. You know, because that's just how things work sometimes. And then you could die. Like, your car can flip. It can start, the oil can start to leak. And then you can catch on fire. And then, God forbid, you can blow up in the car. Like, anything can happen. Just the same way anything can happen on the plane.
Cars don't really blow up anymore.
What?
Cars don't blow up. Like, it's designed in a way where it's not going to blow up. It's going to burn down. It's not going to blow up. Wait, what are in the movies. That's just to exaggerate. Cars don't blow up, as far as I know.
What is he saying, bro?
No.
Wait, how? The engine kind of blows up.
It's designed in a way where, am I right or wrong? Yeah, it's not designed to blow up because it would be unsafe. So it just burns down. So just movies. Movies exaggerate that. Is that crazy?
What do you mean? Gio told us that when he got into a car accident, like literally seconds later, the car blew up and caught on fire.
Yeah. Not blow up like you're in there.
I've seen car blow up right in front of my face. Remember we were in Georgia and then there was like election day and then they chose a president and people were heard about it. So what they did was they started like creating chaos in the city. They started burning cars and stuff. You don't remember? Like, look.
Yeah, but you're saying burning a car than a blow up. I'm talking about, like, you know, in a movie where you just see a car just boom, just blow up like that.
Okay, when oil leaks, right? And then there's obviously... The engine is hot.
Yeah.
It could spark a...
Yeah.
Fire, and then it could blow up. Because you have to understand if there's oil there, and then the engine and all the other things in the car, I don't know details, but it could blow up, of course.
But that's the thing, though. Look, when
fire how about this? Starts... Cars don't gas, right? They can... What? They can... Have you ever... You know how they... When they put a...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to say this.
So there's some old cars that literally have gas. Like you...
Like gas a helium, tanks, bro.
Okay.
Gas tanks. Helium literally goes in, and that's how the car operates.
Okay. So if that car flips, of course it can blow up.
Well, not it. Yeah, it's not.
How?
It doesn't matter, saying? Bro. Well, it's okay. Okay. I didn't look it up.
Oh. Yo, you know what? Else. That's whatever. That doesn't even matter.
You guys can talk about it after.
We can talk about this after.
It's if cars even, blow up or not, I mean, yeah. Come on.
And then what I was trying to bring with this point is, an optimistic person like myself, where I don't. Yes, I'm also realistic. You can't be blinded either about some facts too. But you don't have to look at life like that. Where, look, I'm not going to get on the plane because of the two accidents that happened. You know, you cannot say I'm never going to drive a car.
It's lack of faith.
Yeah, that too. But like, here's anything can happen. Like literally walking in the street at nighttime, anything can happen. There could be a drunk driver. Just it's not your fault. You didn't even do anything wrong, and he just hits you and you die.
You could also find $100 on the ground.
It can happen, right?
Exactly. You also find $100 on the ground. That's what I'm saying. Or you can meet the love of your life.
So if you're skeptical,
right? Love at first sight, right?
Just like now that's optimistic.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're skeptical about things, you won't go out. You won't do things that you can do and enjoy because you're looking at it in a skeptical way. And then you're also not finding good things in it where there is good things in it. The world just tells you there's bad things in it. To scare you. So what I'm trying to say is there's that skeptical side of social media where people come out and say, oh, don't do this at nighttime. Don't do that. You know, no, like don't get on the planes because of this car accident or the
plane crash. Yeah.
Plane crashes. Yeah. So it's like there's really both sides on a lot of things. And the idea is this guy was looking in a skeptical way. He literally said, I'm scared of heights. But then I told him, you don't feel like you don't see anything on the plane. You're literally just sitting there on the chair. Like, unless you open up the, but you don't have to. That's also up to you. Like, if you're scared, you don't have to open it up. You can just sit in different seats, for example. And I told him, although you do feel when you go up in the beginning, but that also, I told him I was the same way. You know, when you first get on the plane, first it's scary. Like, you don't know what's going on. You're not expecting everything. Mm-hmm. The landing part too. But once you get, it's same thing with car. You're scared to drive in the first time because you're like, what if I crash? What if somebody hits me? What if I swerve onto a different car when you're on the highway, right? I've had that feelings. Everything is just a matter of time for you to get used to it. So, anything.
I was gonna ask before we move on. Is cortisol like the hormone that regulates obviously emotions and all that stuff? But you know how people say there's two emotions, right? Obviously, like fear or you know, having faith, fear or calmness, fear or confidence, and those are the two things that just can't coexist, right? So is cortisol the hormone that is responsible for that? Well, that you can't.
Well, the thing is, you need cortisol in your life, just like in like a healthy amount, because cortisol allows you to be alert and awake. So like as soon as you wake up, your cortisol is already going up to a healthy amount.
Yeah.
To get you awake. You never like when you wake up in the morning, you said you need 30 minutes or like maybe a little bit more to like kind of start waking up. Your cortisol is slowly coming up. And so people who have like wake up in the middle of the night and like they're just like wide awake, they have like imbalanced cortisol. Like their cortisol spikes in the middle of the night or something like that.
And they just go, ooh.
Yeah, they're just like wide awake at night. Okay, and just, they're all like messed up. That's what cortisol. No.
Okay. So it's the wrong hormone that I was
referring to. What are you talking about then?
Because you know how people say in your body, there's two emotions that cannot coexist. It's one or the other. Uh-huh. So it's either operating with fear or some type of negative emotion, or the positive emotion. You know how you were saying an example?
Like the fight or flight system?
Yeah, sure. But you were saying that when you're in a state of fear, you're not really trusting God. But in reality, that is very true, because that means when you're fearful, you're operating on fear. You're operating on how to kind of be defensive. Uh-huh. When you're defensive, you're not really offensive. It's just, this is just an analogy.
Best defense with offense. Is offense.
More offense.
More offense.
But you know, that's the one I was getting at. Do you guys know like which part of your like mechanism in the body?
I
tried searching it up. It didn't really give.
I think you're talking about like probably like prolactin and testosterone. Like when your prolactin is high, your testosterone is low. When your testosterone is high, your prolactin, they're inverse.
That's definitely what I'm not talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just what I think of.
Yeah, no.
Because those are two inverse hormones.
No, it's okay. Anyway, yeah, you can continue what you were saying. I'll just look this up.
What I was gonna say,
but I was gonna bring up a good question. Is based on, you know, when I ask like, have you guys really encountered like the spiritual stuff? Is okay. There's one way where it comes to you like that, but then there's some other ways where it's your thought process or it's you actually like you know, I'll tell a story about this.
Like,
yeah,
it gets in your head.
So
I'm
gonna tell a story about like it's all in your head. So I went on vacation two summers ago with my family and like my cousins and stuff. With my brother was there, and we were there up at nighttime, and I found these two dolls in that house. We're up in the mountains. I found these two dolls. They were creepy, I'm not gonna lie. And so I decided to put one of these dolls in my brother's bed before we went to bed. He still thinks it's real to this day. I think so. So I don't even mind telling like saying this. But okay. So
is he scared of him or no?
Is he scared of them?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna tell the story. So pretty much I hid one in his bed, I hid one in the closet in his room.
And he knew they were in a different place.
And I totally forgot I put these in his bed. I put it like midday because we were all like out and about. Okay. And so in the middle of the night, I get a call from him. I'm downstairs in the basement. He's like, Michael, he's like freaking out. It's a freaking, he's like cursed. He's like, there's an effing doll in my bed. I don't know how it got there.
Your brother or your cousin?
My brother.
Okay.
This is my brother. My cousins were there. Because they were witnesses. Everyone knew I did it except him. Everyone was in on it. And so, but he was genuinely scared, like actually. Like, and then I went up there.
How did a doll end up in
the thing is though, when he wasn't looking, I kept moving the doll around. Like, for example, we hid in like my cousin's room, and I would like, I don't know how I did this, but I put the doll like right outside the room, looking into the room. I propped it up without him knowing. And then when he opened the door, he saw the doll. He's like, yo, what? He's like freaking out. Yeah. he's freaking out. And that's like an example of just like, it's made up. It wasn't real. Like, I did it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, bro. I'm telling you, like, stuff in the movies, it's not real. Like, you know how they, you know how in scary movies, they like to portray this, like, they over-exaggerate things. So, like, Haunted House, right? It's not as bad as they make it out to be in the movies. Same way with, like, what Stu said. Yeah, sure. Like, the same way, like, a car blowing up that easily, it's probably not that easy to blow up a engine or, like, for a car to flip and then catches on fire. It's actually pretty hard, because then it would be a lot of cases where when a car flips, it would catch on fire, but it's super rare. Like, there has to be something wrong with a car where it has to leak and then it's going to blow up. You know, it's, I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's not as often as it, or as easy to happen as it's shown in the movies. Like, movies trying to over-exaggerate things to get into people's head, to make them make them believe that it's real. And you know what I mean? Because a lot of things actually in movies are fake.
This is the movies too. Like, in my opinion too, like, I'm not one to like really watch necessarily scary movies like that, like a lot. Like, there's people who religiously watch that type of stuff.
Yeah.
For me, it's just inviting negativity in your life. And I
tell Georgie this too.
And in my opinion,
well, it depends how often you do it. I feel like every once in a while,
why would you do it?
Like, suspense is good, but like, horror is different, in my opinion. Like, you could watch a movie and you could feel the suspense and intensity.
Depends on the theme of the movie too. Like, what is it?
And the intention and stuff. Yeah. But in my opinion, what you think about and what you like kind of put your attention to, you attract in your life. So if I'm watching a horror movie, when I go home from that horror movie, I'm having thoughts replaying in my mind about that movie. Guess what? I'm gonna attract more thoughts like that, and therefore attract more feelings like that into my life.
I understand what you're saying. So this is what I was trying to say. Hatred and love, peace versus hope. I mean, fear versus peace, hope versus despair.
Yeah.
Right? Those are like very opposing feelings. So you can't have them both at the same time. You know how a lot of the times where people feel fearful or something or anxious about something, but then they also are like, yo, why can't I not be hopeful of my future? And they're anxious at the same time, right? Because you gotta you cannot have space for two. You gotta have space for one of them. One exists and the other is out of the picture. When one exists, the other one's not there. So that same example is, I would put it exactly how it is when you are putting that spiritual fear or spiritual realm of like anxiety and just are not feeling at peace. I think that is devil's attack to put you out of the state of how you would feel in the presence of God, right? Peace, joy, hope, love. When you're out of those states, in what kind of state are you in? The state that he exists in, right? He exists out of fear, anxiousness. Because look, let's put it in perspective, right? The devil knows that he's done for. Like, he's banished from the heavens. Like, he's never going to get there. Like, we have hope we're going to get there, right? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Like, we have that hope. We will be there. We just need to trust him. But he's, like, banished. He's done. He's not going to get there.
Yeah.
So now he has so much hatred, so much bitterness that he wants
he's against to just God,
destroy.
Basically.
Right. And he wants to destroy anything and everything that has to do with even the potentiality of them going to heaven. Because he knows that once Jesus Christ died on that cross, everybody who, you know, puts their trust in Christ and who repents and turns away from them will be in heaven with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And when he knows this stuff, obviously what he's going to do is in many different ways, millions of trillions of different ways, can be so subtle, it's going to work where it's going to make you stumble one way or another. When you're stumbling, you're out of balance and it's easier to knock you out.
You see, interesting you're saying that, because it's perfectly shown in the story of Job, and Sam Shimon explained this and explained it very biblically and very, I guess he kind of put it in a creative sense too, where, you know, obviously the angels are with God and they know the ability of God, right? And then, you know, Satan is not only there to kind of, you know, show off and be like, yo, God, like, guess what? I can do this to Job, because, you know, God is all-knowing. Like, he knows everything. He knows what he's capable of. He knows what you're capable of, all that things. But devil didn't necessarily tell all that things to
God saying, like, he only loves you because you did this and you gave him all these things. He was saying that for the angels to hear, to rebel against him. He also doesn't like the angels. You know, he's against the whole idea of
God. Did the angels rebel?
No, no, they didn't.
At the time?
But he's trying, that was his goal. He was trying to say, look, you see this God that you guys are trusting right now? You know, the only reason why Job likes him or believes in him and stuff is because he gives him all these good things. You know, you don't know if he actually likes you or not. You know what I mean? He was trying to test, because you have to understand.
Do we have that picture at all, or is this like on a...
No, like, I feel like it's just an observation according to the character of devil, just trying to deceive people, because angels are also made out of free will. They're not like robots. Yeah. They're not God's robots. They're actually made out of free will. That's why Satan was fell from heaven. He rebelled and he didn't want it to be with God. So the same way angels, all the other angels that came down with Lucifer, chose that. You know what I mean? Yeah. They rebelled. So, you know, one way or another, just the same way we can rebel against God and not follow God, angels can do that because of our free will. So it's like, it's okay, let's look. To put it in simple terms, when devil goes to God and tells him, Job only loves you because you give him all these things, you know, he questions the angel saying, yo, what is this? What is Lucifer talking about? Why is he saying this to God? You know what I mean? Like, God knows Job doesn't like or doesn't believe in God because God gave him all these things. Job actually cares, because that's why when the devil killed all his kids and everything and took everything away from him,
he was still faithful
to God.
Yeah.
Even when he got sick, he was still faithful to God. Yeah. Obviously, the human nature was like still like
a little skeptical.
A little skeptical and saying like, God, why have you done this? Because he didn't understand that it wasn't God doing it; it was the devil doing it. We have to also put in the perspective that, you know, that those demonic spirits, they also have the power to get you sick, you know, make you go crazy, you know, all these things, right? So the human, the first instinct as humans we have that is we always go to God first. So like something bad happens, we go like, God, why did you let this happen? It's not God doing that, you know what I mean? It's the devil that wants you to go against God, right? Essentially, that's what the devil's trick was. So he wanted the angels to go like, yo, the God we're trusting, like, why is he saying this about God? Or is he, you know what I mean? Does he know more than God?
But the clearer image in that scripture, rather than that, like, you're thinking outside the box. Yeah, right. You're thinking outside the box. But a bigger one was Job, and also all the other people who were also deceived in a way where just because something bad and terrible happened to Job, it must have been because he did something wrong and rebelled against God.
Exactly, but in reality,
He didn't. And all these people who were just judging him, making these accusations against him, and all that stuff, were then later on judged from God, right? Because of, you know, just falsely accusing him.
He kind of opened their eyes and told them, like, you're fools. Right. Job did wrong. I was the one that punished them. You know what I mean?
And it's funny, you know, did you know this Bible? When the Bible says judgment, it translates to justice. Yeah. The judgment in a biblical term. Yeah. Well, judgment in a biblical term is justice.
For example, when it's talking about Lord judging someone, it's talking about like justice, because God only judges people based off of
justice.
But
yeah,
you know, when it's talking about like the king's judging, sometimes it could be bad judgment where then God punishes them for that judgment.
Yeah.
So it's in the context of...
Okay, yeah, it's good that you clarified
it's both. Because, judging from kings is like...
Could be mis...
Yeah. But judgment from God is justice.
Right.
And I think the last thing that we can kind of get into is just like practical ways to kind of stay in the game and kind of like kind of battle this type of stuff. So I think the number one thing is just obviously cutting these things out of your life. Just like not cutting everything completely, just like doing it less, like being on social media way less, or going to church, being around good people. Just start building a positive environment around you. Start building your mindset. I think mindset is just so important when it comes to this as well. You need to have like an iron mind.
And you got to be around with people that have the same thoughts, because I feel like, dude, whatever you kind of attract or whatever you're around with or who you're around with is who do you actually become. And if you're around people that curse, if you're around with people that are skeptical about things, if you're around with people that are doubtful about a lot of things,
they don't believe in themselves. Like, you won't believe in yourself.
And look, you might not necessarily become like them. You're just gonna be more skeptical about things too, because they're going to scare you. Because, you know, you have to understand, like, yeah, sure, you might be like very optimistic person, but, you know, all these things will also then question you. And you're like what you said, when you're watching a scary movie, you're kind of inviting that. And now when you go home, those thoughts are not actually your thoughts, but they're playing in your head because you gave it time for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So just the same way with people, you know, when you let the skeptical people, you know, yap in your ear, like what Cole was saying, like when he had all these people saying, no, you can't do it, bro. Just go to a safe job. Don't do. Yeah. We understand you love this, but it's very scary. It's very dangerous,
risky, right?
Risky and all this type of stuff. You know, it's going to start playing in your head. So you just got to get away from that environment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's always going to be people that are going to try to do that.
Yeah, I think God, what changed in my life is simply mindset with like gratitude, appreciation, seeing things in a positive light. And all of a sudden I attract positivity in my life because I wake up, I give thanks, I see life, I see the world in a totally different lens. Like from like the beauty of people, I get to love people, I get to love the game of life, like things like that where I just totally appreciate my life.
Yeah, and word of God is definitely number one that I would say like you really need, because when it comes to these type of stuff, spiritual battles, it's deceptive to make you think that what you're hearing, what you're seeing is real. And there's like you are operating from a state of mind of obviously fear and state of mind of confusion and don't even know what to pick. And then you just trusting your own self and not trusting God rather. So when you have the word of God and you see that, okay, God said this, Lord said this, you see God's character and stuff, and it doesn't align with that. When you have that knowledge, you're able to say, if that's the knowledge of God and that those are the words of God, but that's not what I'm hearing, that's not what I'm seeing, that's not what I'm feeling.
Now you can distinguish between good and bad. Yeah.
Now you can have an understanding between good or bad. But I feel like if you don't know that, if you don't know the main source of goodness, then you have no idea on what to believe, and you're just going based off emotions, going based on your own just merely human experience, you can pretty much get even mixed up with things that are positive and negative to some extent, because that itself can be deceiving. Like you might justify your own actions by just saying, you know, I think it's positive, or it can be positive. You know, I can give this a positive light. I can give something like this purpose. It's up to me, right? I mean, I can take something bad and turn that into something good, turn that into useful, turn that something. Sometimes you can't. There are some things that are just like that. You know what I mean? And when it comes to that type of stuff, you definitely have to have Lord in your life. You have to have the word of God in your life, and you have to know this stuff, because otherwise you are so easily influenced by anything and everything.
Yeah.
That's so funny, dude. He's just laying there. I'm just looking over there. I don't see his head. All I see is just his feet.
Christian culture?
Yeah, Christian culture. Let's do it.
It up, right? Yo, host. Come on, man.
Yeah, host.
Who, me?
No, so. Not a host. You're a ghost. I'm a chost. We're a prost.
Go host.
Ghost prost. But
I don't believe in ghosts. I believe in go host.
I believe in performers, not performance.
Well, I don't work.
We don't work. We perform.
Yeah,
no, you know.
Yeah, if you
what
know,
does
you
this know. What does this mean to you? Mike, we're gonna start from you.
Okay.
What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?
Amen. What does that really? What does that mean to me?
Yeah. That mean to you?
What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet for forfeit their soul? It just means that the things on this world they're temporary. Number one, but they also okay. What this means to me is that, for example, I used to say all the time to God, even still now, it's like I don't want anything. I don't want success. I don't want my goals if it's not with Him. It doesn't matter. These things do not matter. Anything that I do here on earth does not matter if it's not with God. Why is that the case? Because these things are just simply temporary.
It's greater to be with God.
With God, it's just so much greater. But the thing is, though, it's like when I do things in the glory of God, when I do things because of Him, it's just so much more fulfilling. So that's what it means to me.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
No, same here. And to tie to like what we were talking about, the topic too, is that spiritual battle that we go through is a lot of the times our spirits are being attacked, and then when your spirit's weak, you are actually then more easily to influence, to give in by flesh. But when your flesh is weak, but you're spiritually strong there, I think, in my opinion, you can influence yourself, your flesh, to not give in to the temptation because your spirit's strong. But vice versa doesn't really work. Like, you can be all strong you want, but you can only go so far with, you know, fleshly strength. Like, but when you're spiritually weak, you can give in to anything and you can be easily defeated, because one of the spiritual battles is mental battle too. So, you know, in any sport, even is if you lose to your opponent mentally, you have lost the match. You've lost to yourself. You have already doubted yourself. And no matter what it is, because, dude, in sports, like, even in judo and stuff, I remember there were some moments where I've lost to an opponent and I'm looking back and I'm like, yo, this guy just beat me on the match. I couldn't believe it. He was just so weak. And I knew I could have destroyed him, but I lost to myself, and losing to him was so easy. He probably had to do very little work because I already went in there.
Your own self.
Right. I already went in there defeated. So it's a very mental game when it comes to sports and stuff, when you have to get on there, especially when it's a one-on-one battle. You got nobody to help you. So when you learn these stuff and you combat with stuff, and you get that gain, you gain that confidence from God, there's nothing that can, you know, influence you to think that you are weak or you're not strong or you're not gaining any type of strength from anything, because God is the biggest source of strength that you can get go to. So when you go to him, you feel this overwhelming strength, and there's nothing that can beat you towards that. So the reason why I brought that up is because you know, no matter what it is, I think it's essential to understand that you have to choose to you know, get that source of energy from God, and no spiritual battle will defeat you into choosing something that is worldly, because you have that overwhelming peace coming from God. And imagine being in his presence that you can only imagine. You will not give up anything on this earth because it feels like nothing, because you know it's not going to fulfill you. That's how I look at this verse.
He threw the card at you. Your turn. Try to top that. He said, try to top that. Here you go.
Oh, brother.
You should just be like, I agree. I'm just kidding.
I agree with what Mike said, what Sadula said. Think big, grow big.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think big, you know?
Yeah.
What good is it? Okay, bro. So I think it's all... Because, dude, it says from Mark 8:36... I wish I had the context of that.
Ooh.
You know why? Because it's like, it's literally, I think it's also trying to kind of tell us that, you know, can you actually pull it up while you do that? I'll kind of like explain it. But it's also like the understanding that something that might be good for you in the world might not be good for your soul.
Which chapter is it? You know what I mean?
So like, let's just say, you know, chasing the materialistic things, it could be good for you in this world, but it's not really good for your soul, because then you're kind of dedicating less time for you to, you know, understand God, know God, read his word, go to church, all these type of things. So I feel like it's very important that we don't forfeit our soul, but we forfeit the things that are the world.
Right. So yeah, even the stuff he says, like if your right hand causes you to sin, cut that off and throw it away.
Exactly, because
it's just, out your ear.
Like, what good is your eye? So it's already like, it's already in a form of a question, like, what good is it if someone gains the whole world, meaning like the materialist things, but loses their soul? That's how I'm understanding this.
Oh, I think I remember now. I think that is literally in the same chapter where he was talking about if your hand causes you to sin, cast it out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better to go like in a question into the heaven
like,
without a
hand. How good is it? Like, what is there good if you gain the things in the world,
yeah,
but you lose your soul for eternity?
Exactly. God. Yeah, so I want you have soul. To really give up
yeah,
a lot of things. I want my soul
on earth.
All right,
let's but you go. Gotta be willing.
All right, to fight shout for out. That, right? Someone do the shout out.
You do.
No, I'll do the quote. You do shout out.
You do quote of the day first.
Oh, what the heck? Okay.
Well, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And then he says, what good is for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul?
I win. Amen.
Amen. Let's go, Mikey.
For the day, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ooh, that goes hard. Heavenly realms. The heavenly realm. I haven't unlocked that yet.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a heavenly realm and there's the battle there.
We've unlocked the cyberspace realm, but we haven't unlocked the heavenly realm yet.
And when will we do that?
When Jesus comes back.
When is
good
that?
Answer. Good answer, brother.
Wait, when is that?
When Jesus comes back.
Yeah, but when is it?
No one knows. He'll come like a thief in the night.
Ooh.
No, bro. When is he coming back, though?
Soon.
Wait, how do you know?
Because that's what he said. He said he'll be back soon.
Be steadfast.
I like your
be steadfast.
I went sober.
Okay, you're right, bro.
I
was just expecting for you to be like, no one knows the day or the hour.
Oh.
That was going to be more aura answer. That's all.
Okay.
So, okay, I'll do the shout out.
I guess you lost
on YouTube. Kyrie33 Ellison. Thank you for this comment. Look into the Orthodox Church. Amen. We actually are Orthodox. We grew up in Georgia. Georgia is a very Orthodox country.
Amen to that, brother.
Amen.
Orthodox.
And we are trying to get our friend Mike to go to Orthodox Church just to experience it too. Right?
Sure. Did you tell him about it?
Okay.
No, because like...
You know, you were on... Yeah.
Well, the part 2 is going to be coming out. So we're going to be with Call, right? Part 2.
Again.
So we're going to be diving more into like Orthodox... More in the beliefs of like different denominations. Because
now with Cole, I want to talk about more of topics that would associate with Christians and just these type of questions. Just asking them these type of questions. Just
we can do part.
We
can do part 4.
I think Georgie really wants just a part 2 of the episode.
No, because remember we couldn't even finish like,
yeah,
the deep of like different.
How about this? You tune in and find out.
Yeah. At this point.
How it is.
And with that, producer, think big, grow big.
Peace. Yo, George, dude.